now covering the Blazers. The Ducks, back at the Oregonian on Twitter. Feel free, use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. How is Team Fentress this week?
We are grand. We are grand. How are you?
I'm doing really well. So I've been waiting to talk to you about this for a week now. The Bears are playing Miami last weekend. Rookie quarterback Justin Fields rolls out, throws a TD pass to a very wide open Jesse James. Twitter acts as if the bar has been reset for miraculous throws. You tweet out that you, right now, could make the same throw. You get called on it by some, including former Duck Kenyon Barner. So
and Keenan Howery.
Oh, right. And Howery as well. So pick it up from there and let us know how far you were willing to go to prove your point.
Oh, man. Well, I'm of the mind, okay, that, you know, if you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I said I could make that throw. People were saying you could, which was a little baffling. I'm like, it was only 35 yards downfield from the line of scrimmage to where he caught it, or excuse me, from where he threw it to where it was caught. So really 24 yards from the line of scrimmage, but it was at an angle because Fields rolled to his right a bit, right?
Yep.
But he had zero pressure on him. Like, zero. There was no one within 6 yards of him, and every defender was being blocked. They barely even made an effort. And then the receiver, as you said, was completely uncovered. So it was basically like 7-on-7 with no pass rush and a blown coverage. So you're just standing there, and you're throwing it downfield 35 to 40 yards. So to me, I didn't think I was seeing anything greater than I can make a layup in an NBA game. If I'm on a 3-on-1 fast break on the right side, and the one guy jumps the guard, and the guard gives it to me, I can make the layup. I can steal second base in a Major League Baseball game if the catcher doesn't throw it to second base, right? I can make a putt in the Masters from 3 feet out. I can catch a fly ball. Like, there's certain things an average human being can do in a professional setting, and that's one of them if you've ever thrown a football. So I was just taken aback that it was, like, a thing. And then Barner, and I think Barner just thinks I'm an old man, so I can't do it. And then Howie tried to throw this. People don't understand just how tough football is. He clearly doesn't know that I've been around the game of football my entire life, like literally. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to go out and just show these clowns that I can do this. And they're not clowns. They're NFL guys, so I'm not really talking about them. I'm talking about the morons who are like, who don't know anything about me, who are like just coming at me just weirdly. It was just bizarre. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go out. So go ahead.
No, I said that's what I found so strange. It's like nothing personal, but I'm 60. I think I could still sling it 35, 40 yards.
Right. I mean, I didn't say I could throw it 60. Right? I didn't say I was gonna throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball past Aaron Judge or something like that. Like, why is it such a thing? So anyway, I'm going to the park anyway with my son to do some baseball workouts, and you know, the football field is at sunset. So I'm like, well, I'm gonna take a football. And I'm going to, you know, make a video of me throwing this thing. Now, I will say this. I haven't thrown a football in a year and a half. I coach a semi-pro football team, as you know.
Right.
And we haven't done anything since the pandemic started in March of 2020, right? So, and sometimes in practice, I'll throw if my quarterback's doing a different drill or if he had to miss that day or whatever. And I noticed, like, 3 or 4 years ago that I didn't quite have the zip I once had in my early 40s and beyond, right? Because back in the day, no lie, I could throw 60. That's not an exaggeration. I had a pretty good arm. Randall Cunningham type of delivery, and I could get it out there. But, like, I'll never forget it. I'm in practice. Someone throws a go in one-on-ones, and I throw it, and it was just a duck. And all the players were like, ew, what was that? I'm like, that was me aging right before your eyes. I literally just aged because I don't know how, I could barely get it 50, right? So, like I said, I hadn't thrown in a year and a half. But I knew I could get 40. So I went out there with my son, and we're playing catch, and I sort of back up as we go. And when I got to about 35, I still felt good. When I got to 40, I felt okay. When I tried to get to 45, it was like my arm was looking at me like, fool, what are you doing? What did you get me into?
What year
Why
do you think
dragging
it is?
Me? What's that? Yeah,
what year do you
why
think
are you
it
dragging? Why are you dragging me out here making me suffer for you. Do you not feel the tendons in your arm starting to strain? Do you not feel the muscles screaming? So I was like, yeah, this might be pushing it. So I went back, and I got warmed up, and then I did the throw. I did like three throws before the first one you see, that's just a dart. That was a bullet. I had perfect grip on that one. The other ones kind of slipped a little bit, and then I did the last one. Now, when I made the video, I was like, okay, am I going to put the video of me out there throwing, or am I going to do some kind of production? So I kind of talked to my older son about it. He's like, you need to put music in there. You need to do this. You need to do that. And so I put the hater music over the clips of the tweets. I put the Justin Fields actual throw in there. And then when I put the slow motion video of me doing it, it was actually an accident. I didn't purposely mean to film me in slow motion. That was an accident, but it was a glorious accident.
Yep.
I thought to myself, I've got to put some old man NFL film video music on this thing.
Yeah, you played the NFL Films theme when a
roundup.
Team, yeah, when a team kind of made the big comeback. And
so that's my favorite one ever, by the way. And so I put that in there. My son, my oldest son, who just got married this summer, he's like 32. He was just dying laughing. He's like, "You got to post this." And then at the end, I had to put the Al Bundy photo of him in the Bears jersey saying, "Let's rock," because I was equating myself to old man Al Bundy, reliving his glory days. But no, it was fun. But yeah, of course I can make that throw, man. I can't make many of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't sit there and just sling it 40 yards 10 or 20 times without probably tearing up something. But nah, yeah, I had to put it out there. And, you know, Kenyon Barner, he was reluctant at first, but then he gave me his props and said it was a good throw, to be honest, after he mocked me a little bit. So
yep.
That's all I wanted to hear. Was for Kenyon Barnes, just give me some credit, because I was in the hospital the next day getting rotator cuff surgery, so I at least had to have Kenyon Barnes give me some praise.
No, you had your own little Seinfeld episode. You were not going to give in. You were going to be Costanza going to Ohio to tell the guy that the ocean's running out of shrimp.
Oh, that one, yeah, right.
Oh, man. All right, we're talking
with... No, Jerk Store. It's Jerk Store.
Jerk Store, yeah.
Jerk Star is running out of here. That's
yeah, there it is. There it is. Oh, man. We're talking with Aaron Fentress. He of the strong right arm.
Yes, baby.
Let's have a couple of Duck football thoughts. So the media has them pretty overwhelming to win the North. What the hell's the media know? And I'm not sure that North has a real great team. We know how much talent this guy has. This team, excuse me. You see them as obviously the team to beat, maybe a slight favorite over Washington or other category.
You know, I have some reservations. I think there's a lot of unknowns with this team. They went 4-3 last year. And I know people would prefer to say they won the Pac-12 title. Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to be a jerk about this, and people are probably going to hate me for saying this, but I'm going to say it because I think it's true. They won the game that was called the championship game, and they got a trophy. I can't really say that they actually went out and did what you would normally need to do to win a championship in the Pac-12. So I think there's like 18 asterisks on it. I think you have the right to wear your T-shirts. You have the right to put the trophy in the showcase. But let's just call it what it was. They were 4-3, which is the equivalent of basically an 8-5 season. The defense fell back a great deal from allowing 16 points a game during the Rose Bowl year to allowing 31. Clearly, you know, I thought Shuck was better than a lot of people give him credit for. He did struggle the last few games, but he led the conference in passing efficiency, I believe. He ends up leaving, so now you're going to go with Brown. What does this mean to the offense? I don't know if it's an obvious upgrade. I think it might be a little bit of one because he probably has a more dynamic arm. He's a veteran guy, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he played a lot in the second half against Iowa State, and they didn't score a point. So I think there's a lot of reasons to wonder what exactly this team is about. Now, we've seen them stack a lot of talent. They're recruiting very well. But a lot of those players are still kind of on the younger side or the unproven side. You know, even someone like Kayvon. Kayvon's probably going to have a great season. He's going to be a top-10 pick. He had 3 sacks last year. I'm not blaming him for that. It was a bizarre season, but he only had 3 sacks in 7 games. What's Sewell going to be? What's Flo going to be? Are they 5-star kids who are just headed to the NFL in a couple of years, or are they truly going to form a nucleus of a great defense? I would argue that the defense is probably going to be pretty good with those three and everyone else, but we have to sort of see it, right? So I think there's a lot of question marks. I think picking them is fine. But I was a little surprised it was that overwhelmingly in their favor, given all the question marks I just put forth. But it's going to be a fascinating season, man. Like, I really think this is one of those years where you sort of go in, like, I'm sort of going in thinking, you know, literally, they could win just 7-8, or they could win 11. You know what I mean? And I think we'll know sort of where they are after Ohio State.
Oh, sure. No, there's going to be a proving ground and fast. Let's get to the Trailblazers. You wrote about the new coach, Chauncey Billups, and unless something drastic happens, I don't see a blockbuster. So they're going to try the roster's good, need better coaching theory. So
right.
What kind of stood out about his plan, be it shoot less threes or everybody's got to commit to defense?
Yeah, well, what did Mike Tyson say? Everyone has a plan until you punch them in the mouth.
Yeah.
One of the greatest lines in sports history. No, I mean, look, when you feel like you underachieve, when you go out in the first round like they did to Denver, who was without Jamal Murray, you know, you make some changes, whatever changes you can make, and they couldn't make any major roster changes other than a few tweaks. They didn't have the cap space, and they couldn't find a trade so far, at least. So you re-sign Norman Powell, you're going to bring back the same starting five, and what you hope is that the analytics that group displayed during the final 2 months of the season, where they finished fourth in net rating at a plus 13, when that five was on the court, you hope that continues on and that you even get better on defense because you have a defensive-minded coach who's going to hold guys accountable. Whereas Terry Stotts, as good as he was with the offense, he just lacked in the area of making guys reach their potential on defense. Defense was optional. Like, that's what people have said. Norman Powell and Robert Covington sort of made that semi-clear in different comments they made. You know, it just, if you missed an assignment, I mean, it's not like Stotts would never say anything, but it was just pretty much well known that the goal was to be an offensive team, and defense was sort of like, oh, let's play defense, please, 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 not, you have to go play defense. Well, Billups is going to come out and basically demand that everyone, including Lillard and McCollum, give better effort on defense. They have to. If you want to win, this is what he says. We're going to find out who really wants to win. Because if you want to win, you're going to play defense. If you don't really want to win, basically you're not going to play good defense. And this is a guy who did what?
Yeah.
He played good defense on a team that was second in the league in defensive rating and won the championship. Right? So the theory is that having someone like that as your head coach, especially someone who played point guard with Lillard being your best player, that he is going to have a certain high-end cachet with these guys to sort of get them to buy in at that end of the court. If that happens, I think automatically you're looking at a 50-win team. Some people have rolled their eyes at me when I've said that, but they won 42 out of 72 last season with the 29th-ranked defense, and CJ and Nurk missing a combined 60 games, and Powell didn't join the team for the last 2 months. You have Powell all season, if they can stay healthy. I mean, that's always a big if. And you do bump the defense from, say, 29th to even, like, 13th, and you add 10 more games to the season, I think you should be able to win 50. I don't think that's a reach. So that's what they're hoping for. The other thing, too, this is interesting as well, is that offensively, they ranked really poorly in stats such as paint touches, because they don't get inside much because they're jacking up threes, assists because they're jacking up threes, and then they were last in wide-open threes. In the last or second last in wide-open threes, they were actually number one in open threes, which I thought was interesting, but they are also second to last, I think, in contested threes taken. So it's a very weird mix there. But Billups' point was that we want to be able to penetrate, attack the basket more. That's paint touches. When the defense collapses, kick it back out to a shooter. There's assists. And then you're going to get more wide-open looks. If you do that, you're going to be even more efficient on offense. One more note, and I think this is hugely important, is that, and I've kind of said this for a while now, Damian Lillard scoring 29 points a game is not going to have them win a championship. Like, you have to have some better balance, and you need him to give more energy on defense, even if that takes away from his energy on offense. And I think they believe, well, I know they believe, that if they play better defense, and even if that means Dame's numbers come down offensively a tick, if they just play more efficient offense, it's going to make up for that, and that it's not going to matter because you're getting better defense from Dame anyway. So that's all sort of part of the puzzle, what they think is going to help them make some noise in the West next season.
Have you shared all this with Billups? Because you seem to be a little ahead of him on this.
No, this is based on my conversations with him and other people. But you know, in terms of the Lillard thing, yeah, I mean, I've never seen Lillard as a 29-point scorer on a championship team. I think if he were on a team with better players, clearly, you know, he wouldn't be scoring 29. He'd be scoring more like 24. And I think if you take some of the pressure off of him offensively, have him play, give up more effort on defense, you're a better team.
No question. Good stuff. Folks, if you haven't seen the Fentress quarterback video, you got to check it out. The Twitter handle is at Aaron J. Fentress. Good stuff. It's crazy to think that, but when we talk next week, the next week is going to be game week. So it's kind of
Fresno. Crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of go time. Folks, he's Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. Always good talk, my friend. Be well. We'll talk soon.
All right, later.